Next up, from the great city of Chicago, is a fellow who runs a fantastic reading series in Chicago that I was fortunate enough to attend last summer called The Tuesday Funk. And I know he's been to some really cool stuff at South by Southwest before, so I'm eager to hear what he has to say. Will you please give it up for Bill Shun?
I needed that. So when they finally caught up with me, it was in a bus station men's room in Great Falls, Montana. I wasn't on the run from the law. I wasn't on the run from Mexican drug cartels or crazy ranchers or anything like that. I was on the run from the Mormon church. It was 1986, the very end of the year. I was 19 years old. I'd been a missionary for 4 months, all of 4 months, in the isolated oil town of Brooks, Alberta, on the prairies of Canada. And I didn't want to be a missionary. I did not want to be there. They say at church that you have the choice about whether you can go on a mission for 2 years. But in my family, there was not a choice. You went. So that's where I was, and I couldn't stand it. We had to knock on doors for 12 hours a day. There was no television, no books, no movies, no newspapers. All we could do is read the Book of Mormon, write letters home on Sundays, and knock on doors. Sometimes it got to be 30 below zero, and we'd knock on people's doors, and they'd say, "Boys, you've got to go home. You're going to die out here." And by the end of the year, I was just fed up with it. So despite the fact that I knew it would be impossible to face my family when I got home, I decided I had to go home anyway. So I packed my bags, and I sneaked out of our apartment just after midnight. And my companion, the missionary that you're assigned to be with, caught me taking my bags out and tried to keep me from leaving. He spent a long time trying to talk me into staying. But I convinced him finally that I did not want to be there. I needed to be somewhere else. And he agreed to help me. He agreed to help me get to the bus. And he said he'd give me plenty of time to get out of town and even out of the country before he told anyone that I was missing. So the headquarters of the mission were in Calgary. I hop on the bus. We make it to Calgary. I get through there fine. We turn south and go to Lethbridge, got through there fine. At the border, I was turning in my work visa and getting on the next bus across the American border when an immigration officer comes up to me and says, "Are you Bill Shun?" And I was like, "Yeah, shit, they've caught up with me." He said, "Yeah, there's a couple of people from your church who would like to talk to you." And he must have seen the look of panic on my face. And he said, "You don't have to talk to them. You're under no obligation. I'm just telling you they're there." I said, "Great. Tell them to go away. I'm going home." So I got back on the bus, and I felt great. I felt like I'm probably the only person who's left Canada and felt like I was escaping from East Germany. I really felt like James Bond getting out of a really tight situation. So it's later that day. And we get into Great Falls, Montana. And I get off the bus to go to the men's room. And there's this guy in a black leather jacket who follows me up into the men's room. And I didn't want to believe what was coming. But while I'm at the urinal peeing, he just leans back against the wall on the other side of the room and says, "Elder Shun," because that's what they called us. 19-year-old boys, we were all called elder. And I said, "Yeah, that's me." And he said, "Let's talk." The long and short of it is, it's very hard for a Mormon kid to say no to authority. And what he told me was, "You should go back to Calgary, and they'll give you a proper release from your mission." So I bought it. I went back to Calgary and several hours fighting what would turn out to be my extradition. And in the end, I gave up. I stayed on my mission. And my mission president in Calgary told me, he said, you know, you're not in any trouble for trying to run away. What you're in trouble, what the person who's in trouble is your companion for not doing everything in his power to keep you there. And then he assigned me to a new companion, and life goes on in Calgary. So we fast forward a couple of months, and I'm on a one-day assignment with another missionary who comes to me and says, as soon as we get together, he says, Elder Shun, today's the day I'm going home from my mission, and you're going to help me. And I tried to talk him out of it. I said, this is a terrible mistake. Your family's going to be disappointed, whatever, whatever. Still, I ended up with him at the airport. And to make a long story short, he went off to get on his plane, and I went to a telephone, and I did everything in my power to keep his plane from leaving. I looked in the yellow pages and found the right phone number, dialed it up, and they said, hello, this is Western Airlines. And I said, there's a bomb in a suitcase on flight 789. Now, I wish I had time to tell you what happened next. Tell you all about the trial, the arrest. I got hauled in by the Mounties. And I can't go back to Canada. But I'll tell you what keeps me up at night, which is the realization that there's a place where circumstances and faith intersect, where, you know, where it's very easy for a rash impulse to turn into what was essentially an act of terror. And any of us could be standing on that precipice, and I know it very well because I was there. Thank you.
Bill Shun. So, Bill, did you tell a version of that story when I went to your thing in Chicago? Because I'm like, Bill's telling it, and I'm like, oh, the guy I heard with the terrorist plot. Yeah, yeah. And you have those realizations, and you're like, oh, my God, Jesus.